How many of you stayed up and seen the new year in? Raise your hand. Okay, we had a few of you, maybe a little over half. And so hopefully you'll be awake and join the rest of us in the service. I didn't quite stay awake the whole time. But I don't know if you'd have the privilege to share on New Year's Day what you would share. But the Lord has given me something that I believe can be shared today and hopefully be an encouragement. I'll give the title here in just a moment, and I ask a few questions between now and then. And you answer. I'm going to need some participation here this morning. A number of questions. Let me ask them, and you just help me out. We got a smaller group, and so we don't have to be afraid of each other. If you had the opportunity to go to Spain for a two-week all-inclusive trip, paid for completely, no cost on your part, would you take that opportunity? Or if you don't want to go to Spain, whatever place you would like to go, if it's Switzerland or Australia. Of course, Becky says. Okay, why would you want to take that opportunity? Becky doesn't have to answer that why, but anybody. Why would you? Okay, it's nice to travel, right? It just makes sense. It's free, for one thing. And you'd have that privilege. So, sure. Why wouldn't you? All right. What are some of the, like, all of us enjoy shopping to a certain extent. Others more than others. Others like it more than the rest of us. But what are some of your favorite shops in the area that you like to shop at?
Mulrooney's.
That's for those of you that don't know where that's at. That's a local scrapyard, and you can get good deals, very good deals. All right, that's good. What?
The book center.
Ardkeen. Charity shops. Okay. All right. Just riding the train. Yeah. So these are okay. These are some shops and things that we like to do. Now, if you had the opportunity to go to Mulrooney's or to go to Ardkeen or to go to the book center, wherever it is, your favorite store, and they would say you can fill your trolley full of whatever is in the store that you want, as much as you can get on the trolley, for no cost. Today is your day. Would you take that opportunity? Right? Okay. Why would you want that opportunity? Why would you take it? It makes sense, right? We'd take it because it's free. They're offering it to us, and we would be foolish if we wouldn't, we would say. Now, those are fairly extravagant. We're going to bring it a little bit more down to earth. If you had the opportunity to come to our house, my wife and I, and sit around our table for a meal cooked by my wife for an evening, would you take that opportunity? Okay. Why would you want to do that? A good cook. A good cook. What was the other one?
Good people.
Okay. And I could say it, you know, about each one of you. So yes, we would take that. We take that opportunity. If you had the opportunity to share Jesus with a neighbor, a shopkeeper, your mechanic, the postman, the lonely person on the street, or whoever the person is, if you had that opportunity, would you take it? Why not? If you had the opportunity to encourage a brother or a sister in the church, would you take it? And You could ask the question, why not? So the title for the message this morning is Opportunities Past and Present. As we think of 2016, yesterday was the last day of 2016. Today is the first day of 2017. As you stop and reflect that opportunities that came your way, past and present, what did they look like? What did you do with them? What did I do with them? What will we do with them this coming year? Did I take those opportunities? Did I use them? Or did I lose them? Were they lost opportunities? I would say that probably most, if not all, the opportunities that came your way and my way in 2016 probably will never come back to you again in that same way. You're going to have more opportunities, but you're not going to have that same opportunity come to you in the same way probably ever again with that same person, more than likely not. I'm sure that we have all lost opportunities, if we're honest with ourselves, this past year. Sometimes we think, and by the way, this message is for me as much as anybody here. That's why I share some of the messages that I do. Sometimes we think that going somewhere will allow us to have those opportunities. So I need to go somewhere to have an opportunity to share Christ. And we can do that. But those opportunities happen right here at home, and that's where we really need to probably take them first and foremost. I believe if we miss those opportunities right at home, we're going to find it hard to go somewhere else to meet opportunities somewhere else. I believe it needs to start right here at home. Now, we're going to read scripture here in a bit, but here's a few more questions that you can help me here again. How do these opportunities come to us today? In what form or in what way? What do they look like? So when I talk about opportunities that come our way, what are ways that we have opportunities coming to us? I'll name a few that I just jotted down here, and if you think of some while I'm sharing these that are different, I would like to hear them. We don't hear it as much now, but November, December, particularly in there, I had a lot of people ask me, well, what about, when they hear that I'm from America, they want to know what I think about the presidential election. And you just about, you know, want to groan because, well, you don't know what to say. But that's an opportunity for us to share something about the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, if we want to. Or we can sit there and stammer around and talk about Trump or whoever it is, and we really don't know what to say about it. That's just a place. That's what I'm talking about, opportunities that come. There's opportunities to talk. You know, almost every day there's something in the newspaper headlines that's quite awful. And it brings discussion up. You know, as world happenings happen, people talk about it as we meet them. You know, did you hear this? It gives us an opportunity to say, yes, we heard that. Isn't that awful? And then share just something brief about the love of Jesus and how Jesus could bring peace. What do you say to the person working at Littles, at the till there, when you go through there? It's not a place that we're going to share a long testimony or a message. We can't, because there's people behind us and they're busy and it's their work. But it does give you and I an opportunity to ask them, how's your day going? Maybe that's all you have to say to them. That's an opportunity. That can lead itself to saying more as well as they're checking you out. Of course, the opportunity comes along the highway as we pass someone up along the highway that's either needing a lift or has a flat tire, broke down, or whatever. How does that look? Have we taken those opportunities that come our way? What about opportunities that come through dissatisfied customers? You know, that's an opportunity that we maybe don't look at it as opportunities. Oh, recently, we had one here at the Ideal Woodcraft Shop. And it was a project that I had been involved in, had kind of taken on. And a very dissatisfied customer, because of it was a small little shed that we built and there was a water leak in it, and we just could not get a hold of it. We could not get it fixed until we actually, after about three or four attempts, we actually went back and took some of the siding off of the building, put brand new windows, two windows in it, and finally got the thing waterproof. But a very dissatisfied customer, and at first was quite upset. But as we worked through it, things got better. But those are opportunities that we can take and do something with in a positive way. Or we can say, you know, here's your money back. We'll take it back if you don't like it, you know, and leave it. Hope to never see him again. What about your neighbor's dog or dogs that you struggle with or have a hard time living, around or walking the streets or whatever, and they come out and, you know, almost attack you? Are those opportunities to bless the neighbor or to not get angry about them or have bad attitudes or whatever? Simple little things like that. You know, even accidents that happen to us can be opportunities. I had to think of, and I'll tell you, I didn't ask if I could share this, but about a year ago, you hit the neighbor man's fence over here with your car. That gave us an opportunity. And we look at that and we say, why do we have accidents? Why do we run off the road? But God has reasons for the things that happen that we don't understand. That gave us an opportunity to reach our neighbor man, to fix his fence, and to do more than that, but to build a new fence at another part of the property and bless him in a way that I don't know that he's been blessed in a long time. That happened because of many of you came in and helped do that. Those are opportunities that come our way, but at the time, we just don't understand them. But can we take those difficult opportunities? Opportunities come outside of our homes, and that's what I've been talking about, but opportunities come right within your own homes, within your own walls as well. Time spent with your children. Your children are an opportunity if you're a parent. They're also, children are an opportunity even for those of you that are not married, reaching out and blessing those. Really, I believe the greatest opportunities that we have, particularly as parents, are our own families. And so sometimes we see these opportunities, these happenings, these accidents, whatever it is, and we see them as bothersome, as annoying, and we want to lay them aside, and we want to go do our thing and do our schedule and do what we have planned. But God wants us to take them and use them for His glory and His honor. I named a few. What are ways that opportunities have come to you? Or can come to you? Think about that. And here in a little bit, we're going to come back to that. And maybe some of you can share something as we reflect back on 2016 on times where you did reach out, where you did take an opportunity and take it and do something with it. And then also we can look back at the times where we maybe lost that opportunity, where we remember that something was there, I seen something, but I did not follow through with it. Maybe if we're honest enough, we can talk about some of that. Let's look at Scripture. I've done enough talking. Let's look at Scripture. Where would we turn in Scripture to look at a good story of an opportunity that someone took and someone didn't? Yes. Yes, all right. Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, and we'll read verses 30 to 37. three men that are talked about in this story. Well, there's more than three, but the three men that came walking by, they all had the same opportunity, but they took it differently. We know this story. We wouldn't even have to read it, but we will read it. And if you would stand as we read Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 30, reading to verse 37. Then Jesus answered and said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among the thieves, who stripped him of his clothes, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you.' So which of these three do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" And he said, "He who showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." Thank you. You may be seated. A very, very good illustration of opportunities, an opportunity that was given here. Let's just review this, and you help me here in this process. The first man that came by, who was he? We don't have a name, but we give the name of the type of person he was. Who was it? A priest, okay? Was the priest, who was he in society? He was rather well-known person, right? Respected man, all right? And he had an agenda. He was going from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he come across this, it says, a certain man that had been beaten and robbed and was laying there. What response did the priest have when he saw this man?
Complete avoidance.
He saw him, right? I believe he saw him. But there was nothing in his mind, or I don't know what was going on in his mind, but there was no walking over to the man. It was probably going, it passed by on the other side. I mean, there was complete avoidance. The opportunity was there, but it was the last thing he wanted to do. Now, I wonder what would have happened if the priest would have been walking along and at that same place, instead of seeing a certain man laying there hurt and wounded, if he would have seen a purse laying there. I wonder what kind of opportunity he would avail himself then. Kind of like this shopping cart, right? Trolley filled full of goods. We would never pass something like that. But the priest saw this man, and that was it. Okay? He seen the hurt man. There was no thought of helping him. He turned his face, went around. No compassion at all was considered even shown. It was a totally lost opportunity. The second man came along. Who was he? A Levite. Anything about the Levites? What kind of people were they? Okay. Definitely. Involved very much in the temple there. And being in charge of that. They were also, in a little bit of research that I did, they didn't even have to go out and fight. Am I right on that? I believe at one point there they were kind of a special group of people there among the children of Israel, and so this man had some type of importance about him, or special, yeah, character, or however you would say it. He was a Levite. And so what was his response as he seen this opportunity? What did he do? All right. So he evidently went over to the man a bit to get a closer look at him. And I don't know how much time he spent there. I don't know if he... what he did. I don't know if he rolled the man over or anything like that. But he went to him. But something happened and he decided, I'm not getting involved with this. I'm going to go do what I'm called to do. And he left. He passed by as well. But he did see it and did think about it. I believe there was a bit of thinking going on there. But it was an opportunity that he had, and that was now lost. Now, the Samaritan comes by, and what kind of a person was this man? How were the Samaritans looked at back in those days? Or who were they? They were kind of a mixed group of people from what I read. Maybe didn't really belong anywhere, just a mixed group of people. And were generally kind of looked at as not looked at real well. What was his response to the opportunity that came his way? We all know it, but just in brief, what did he do? He had compassion. Beautiful word. He had compassion. The Samaritan had compassion. He went to the man. It says he took care of him. He gave him medicine. He put him on his own animal. He took him to the inn and put him there. He paid for his time there and cared for him. There was a bit of later even, you know, he was worried about the man. It wasn't like he just went there, left him and said, "See you." He was concerned about the man. The opportunity was there. He took complete control of that and blessed the man. Opportunity was given and he took very good care of him. This certain man, whoever he was, that was laying alongside the road, he is my certain opportunity. He is your certain opportunity in this coming year. Whatever that is, whether it is a person that's hurt, whether it's a person that needs encouragement or whatever it is, that certain man will be somewhere along your journey that will need some help. Somehow I must view the opportunities that come my way, in whatever shape or form they are, as opportunities that are like doors that are open for you to walk through and to go in and to bless and to show compassion and to give of your time in however that may be. Paul says it this way in 1 Corinthians 16, verses 5 to 9. Listen to this thought that comes from Paul as he looked at an opportunity that was there in front of him as an open door. Here he was in his travels. And it says, "Now I will come to you when I pass through Macedonia, for I am passing through Macedonia. And it may be that I will remain, or even spend the winter with you, that you may send me on my journey wherever I go. For I do not wish to see you now on the way, but I hope to stay a while with you, if the Lord permits. But I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great effective door has opened to me." Or a great effective opportunity, I think is what Paul seen here, has opened to him, and there are many adversaries. So he's seen an opportunity, he's seen an open door, and he knew that he needed to stay. "I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost." Now this opportunity that came to Paul, it follows right up and says that there was many adversaries. This opportunity wasn't just running to Spain for 2 weeks. This opportunity was filled with adversaries, it says, or opposers. But yet, Paul seen that as an open door to share Christ and to bless other people. Look at Paul and Silas in their time in prison. What did they do with that opportunity? Did they go in there and pout and that type of thing with each other? No. They sang. They sang praises. They took that opportunity to sing praises, and we know what happened because of that. That's Paul and Silas. What about Ken and Timo sitting in prison today? What are they doing with that opportunity that is in front of them? They are sharing Christ. They are blessing many, many people today back in America because of their stand for the Lord Jesus. The opportunities that come our way that finds us maybe at a difficult place, do we view them as opportunities, or are they lost in the shuffle? The question for each of us are, what are we doing with the opportunities that come our way along the journey from Jerusalem to Jericho? Every one of us is on that journey from Jerusalem to Jericho, and there are certain men, there are certain opportunities that are along that highway. Do we have time? Do we have care? Do we have something to share to these needs about us? Do we even see them as opportunities, or are we like the priest and maybe didn't even hardly notice the man? We're speeding by. We have something we need to go to at the other end. Maybe it's a good thing. Maybe we're doing a good work. But in that going and coming, do we see these as opportunities, and do we take time for them? Maybe we see them and are like the Levite, but we think about it a bit, but nope, I need to, and we go on. What does this journey look like from Jerusalem to Bethlehem for us today? For some of you, this journey is from day after day. It's from JB's to Ardkeen. I'm thinking of Dan. That's his journey a lot. JB's to Ardkeen and then beyond. But that's Jerusalem to Jericho. Maybe it's from your house in the Comoros to the store in Rathcormick. Maybe that journey. And while you spend your time there in the Comoros store. For some of us, it's your journey, your Jerusalem to Jericho journey is from your house to your place of work, wherever that is. Brian, you go to Waterford, you drive the bus. That's your journey. For Hugh, it's at JB's. It may be cutting hedge like Richard was doing, helping someone. Darren, your journey may be to the NCT Center or to Parts Depot to get parts for a vehicle. And you're going to meet people there. The list could go on and on. It could be building a deck. It could be helping at McGuire Garden Center for you, Arthur, and blessing someone there that's coming to buy, maybe a little youngster that's coming to buy some little fish, and you show an interest in that young person's life. That is meeting that person alongside the highway. For some of you, it's from your house to the bakery, or standing behind the till at JB's. For some of you, it's your journey within your own house as you get up from your bed and you go to the breakfast table and you go to the washing machine and you go to, Mama, read me this book, and then you go back to bed. That's your Jerusalem Jericho journey. Those opportunities, whether they're in your own home, among your own children, blessing someone else's children, or whether it's something maybe alongside the highway out here, whatever it is, we must be willing to take those opportunities. They're scattered all along these routes that I just mentioned to you. Now, in closing, let's look back, and we're going to start on the negative side, but let's look back just for a moment or two at some opportunities that came your way that you did not take, that you wish you would have. Are you okay to share those? And so I'll share one, and then maybe one or two of you had one or two to share. I think of something that happened to me recently. I was at the Dublin airport. I think I might have shared it here in Sunday school or something, but I was at Dublin airport to pick up, I think, my parent-in-laws. And I seen a, I was observing people walking through, and I seen a father come in, I think with about five children. They stood out like, they stood out above everybody else. They came in, they were dressed very modestly, a family that loved each other, cared for one another. It was just a beautiful picture. And I seen them, I could just tell that they were a Christian family of some sort. And I stood there and I watched them go by. The minute they seen us, I had two of my daughters, I think, along, or three maybe. And the minute they seen us, they were drawn, their attention was drawn to us, and they kept, you know, looking at us. And we looked at each other like that. They were over here a good ways waiting on someone to come out, and we were waiting on someone to come out. And I wanted so bad to go over to him and just say, you know, Lord bless you, you're a Christian, right? And encourage the man. And all I did was looked at him. That was a lost opportunity that I wish now I would have made. I would have just talked to him, find out who are they, where do they live, and it could have brought us in touch with them here and us blessing them. I don't know. But I lost it. That was just, you know, trying to encourage someone. I could tell other stories about times where I've lost those opportunities. But maybe some of you have something that you would like to share. An opportunity that was lost this past year. Okay. It was very good. You said enough to him, but as you're looking back, you wish maybe you could have said more. Yeah. All right. Thank you for that. Anyone else? Bless you, Nat, in that. And I think all of us as fathers find ourselves there at times. Very good. Time is going on. I don't want to hold you up. Is there a, as we look at opportunities that have come this past year that you took, that you want to share? I'll give you that time. Do you have something that came your way? Just quickly that you know that came and you blessed someone. Yes, Hugh.
Mm. Then, and stayed for two So he spent time in Ireland with us, and recently his brother has run away from home and he's got in a bad place and done some bad things, and their family was discussing it and then said, I think that Francis should come to Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
So they said, why? Well, I went there and it did me a lot of good.
Mm-hmm.
And it sort of came full circle that helping mm-hmm. him mm-hmm. might well help another child who might be in a worse position.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So we're leaving that up to see what God will do with
the Yeah, end. Yeah.
We were open to
wonderful, very good illustration.
There was that time at the family conference when I felt my head and found myself in a room with someone I'd never met before, and she took such good care of me. She was very concerned about my bruise, and through that conversation we started talking about our lives, and we connected in a way that never would have happened mm-hmm. if I had not bumped my head.
Okay, that's great. Natalia? Yes, thank you for that, Natalia. It's something about when we do reach out and we take those opportunities to help someone, encourage whatever, we walk away from there so refreshed ourselves and encouraged. Much more than a trolley cart full of whatever, Ard Keen's goodies, you know. That's great, but there's not the satisfaction that comes. I'm sure many of you could have more. We need to close. These opportunities come not in just big ways. Sometimes that's I think what I look for maybe is the bigger things, but they come in small ways. Matthew 25:41. Then he will also say to those on his left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels, for I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, you did not visit me. Then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or stranger or naked or sick or in prison, did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. It's the least of these. It's those small things. The opportunities that come that we do and we're faithful in that, God will bless. I don't want to put any of you on a guilt trip. We can put ourselves on guilt trips and Because we can't take all the opportunities that come our way. I understand that. But let's take those opportunities that come our way when you know the Lord is asking you to reach out and to bless or whatever. Take those opportunities then. And on your journey from Jerusalem to Jericho, share Jesus in whatever form that may look like. You may be the only person that person will ever experience the love of Jesus. Let's kneel for prayer.
Our Father, we thank you for the great opportunity that we have to begin a new year. We thank you for the forgiveness and for the mercy and the grace that you extend to us. As we think of the past year and times where we have failed you, and we want to learn from that. We thank you for the times when you did give us courage to reach out and to bless others. And we thank you for that. And we pray that what is shared and has been shared will continue to grow and bring fruit. I pray for each one here as we look at the year ahead of us, God, and as we look at our journey from Jerusalem to Jericho, that we would take the time to see these certain opportunities along the way, and to not bypass them so quickly, but to realize that you have placed them there for us to minister to. So give us the strength, give us the wisdom and the understanding of knowing how to meet these opportunities that come our way. Guide each one of us